alayhi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Welcome everybody to the Sufi Society Nothing But Facts live stream. I'm here on a gorgeous Wednesday, on a day that we have some special guests in town. We got Leonard Sachs coming to speak to the different schools and doing a little tour of the area. So we're streaming early and we're going to leave early. But I'm joined by some beautiful landscapers here who have come fresh from work, dripping sweat from a... What did you do, a 6 a.m.? Yesterday you did it? Mashallah, good. And are you a landscaper too?
We're not landscaping, actually. No, we're
what are you?
We're doing construction.
Construction, even better. I'm telling you, it's a great skill. It's a great skill. Let's get straight to our website that we're sharing with everybody today, because this is going to... I'm telling you, it's going to go real fast. We're already down to 1,000. There's only 1,000 spots left, and we're trying to do this gathering and spread this love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, put the Prophet in people's minds and people's hearts. And this is an initiative undertaken by myself, Sheikh Yasir Fahmi, and Sheikh Yahya Rodas, and our organizations. They put all this work together, mashallah. Let's scroll on the website. Are you on the website? Is it shared with everybody too? Okay, so look at this gorgeous website. I mean, you got Mustafa Davis on your team. Game over. Don't even ask questions, right? So let's scroll. So September 22nd, people don't know who Mustafa Davis is. He's like in the Design Hall of Fame for us. Like, there's Abdul Latif Whiteman and him. Who else is there, right? Even White Thread Press is basically Abdul Latif Whiteman copy-paste. No, don't get offended for me, but that's what it is. It's exact same spacing, sizing, lettering, coloring, everything. Mustafa Davis's own look, right? So this is September 22nd at the Teaneck Marriott. Okay. Teaneck Marriott is the best place to do things because it's literally right off the highway. You're driving on the highway in New Jersey, boom, it's right there. All right, so join us for a very special afternoon. We gather and celebrate the life and legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what we're going to have here is, it's going to be, we've taken out everything that is mukhtalafihi. So that this is not about giving victory to a group or an opinion. Like, I always have strong opinions, but if it's an opinion, then that's not what we need to give victory to. We want it to spread the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's his message, his everything, in a way that everyone can absorb and accept. So keep scrolling.
This is actually moving in the background.
Yeah, it's moving. I didn't even realize that. I told you it's Mustafa Davis. He isn't. Yeah. Yeah, told you. All right, so look at this. It's going to be qasidas. It's going to be, we got the best munshids in the area. We got Madik Kiswani and, of course, our own Qari Zahid, who is the best. I never listen to Nat until Qari Zahid starts. And when he starts, he's one of the few you don't want him to finish. I'm serious. I never listened to Nat before this. I just do my own thing in my mind when the Nat goes on, right? And then we have talks. We're going to see who the speaker list is, which include Sheikh Hatim al-Hajj, actually. Actually, you know what? Maybe we should put his picture on the website. Let me actually ask the guys. Hold on. What's good, best? Yeah, well, hold on. You're going to see her in a second. Sending a voice message. What's best? All right, here we go. Remembrance, abundant salawat on the Messenger all day, because the qasidas, that's what they have, and the talks, you're going to have to say it. So the whole room is going to be filled with salawat. Go down. All right, here are the speakers. It's going to be Mufti Azimuddin. All right, our man Muf. Mufti Azimuddin is going to be, by the way, he's coming. Omar, I need you. We're going to host him.
Oh, we got to get him on
the stream. Well, he's coming from like Thursday night. Zayb, Yasin, you guys, inshallah. Yeah, we pick him up, we host him, we everything. Everything, the whole thing, the whole shib. You never met Mufti Azimuddin? Mufti Azimuddin is Shibhi Majdub. You know there's Shibhi Da, right? He's literally Shibhi Majdub. He's on all the time. There's never a time where he's like, just sitting talking about anything else. He is on all the time, talking about spirituality and Akhir al-Zaman and Masail, like nonstop. He's on. He's like
The youth will love him then, right? I mean, he's probably...
He is loving
him. He's like their stuff.
If he was on online, if he had a live stream, because he's always full of energy. Yeah. He's Hanafi, yeah. I mean, I know no one's perfect, but...
Yeah, just kidding.
All right, then we got Sheikh Muhammad Shinawi from Pennsylvania, Sheikh Yasir Fahmi from New Jersey, Sheikh Amin Khalwadi. That's in alphabetical order, just for everyone to know. Didn't put any put it in any other order. Sheikh Amin Khalwadia is going to be there, and he's the main speaker because he's the most veteran and senior one. Sheikh Hatim Al Hajj is sending us a voice note. He's sending us a voice message, Sheikh Hatim Al Hajj. So that's really important to know that. Some of the elder shiuch from amongst our in our community are supporting us and with this. And Sheikh Amin, Imam Amin Muhammad. So there's Sheikh Amin, there's Imam Amin. And Sheikh Yahya wrote us, of course. Keep going down. And so here's the schedule. So doors open at 2. We begin at 2:20. And this is going to be floor seating, mainly with chairs on the wings. That's how it's going to be. It's mainly floor seating, like traditional Milad, basically. But it's not a Milad. Because we're intentionally removing anything that anyone would disagree with on this. This is meant for the whole Ummah. And we're opened up to all the Shuyukh in the area. And of course, all the Shuyukh in the area will be invited as guests. Not everyone can speak because of the time limit. All right, next, what does his next thing say? Okay, then we have Qasidas for about an hour. And then we have scholars talks for about an hour, for maybe an hour, or less than that. Okay. And then Asr, snacks, and Sohbah. All right. That's where we're headed with this. So that's going to be a really beautiful evening in September. It's going to be a cool, beautiful September fall day. Right. And it's going to be something that's gorgeous. All right. Really happy that we're making this happen. Speak. We got some more stuff here, okay, now this is a free event. It's free, but you have to register. Why? Because TNEC Marriott has a limit. We can't pass 2,000 people. This is going to be a big event, and it's already almost sold out. And it's going to be streamed too. No, actually, maybe maybe not streamed. We haven't decided that yet. All right. Now there is childcare, 33 per kid. Do I have to pay too for my kid? Now kids can get face painting, games, more, right? You know, face painting. So there's limited for that too, right? Come and be part of this meaningful gathering. We renew and our love for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It all begins in here. It all begins in the heart, and all begins in here. What are you thinking about all day long? Right? That's what dhikr is. Think about it. It's the adhan. Make everyone remember Allah. You think literally, if you're living in an Islamic country, you can never forget Allah. There's a public adhan 5 times a day. How amazing is that? Now, what is the get in touch here? Then you can contact us from there. All right? So, by the way, this website is like bread and butter for Mustafa Dave. It's like not even half effort needed, but that's how beautiful it is. Right, so this is what's going on here, and it's going to be really a great event.
Some more pages right here. Isn't that short about page? It's this right here.
What's that? There's an about page? Let's see the about page. Okay, about page. Celebrating the final prophet, we honor the legacy of Sayyid al-Kawnain, alayhi salatu wassalam. Through our annual gathering, our dedication shines through as we cherish the timeless teachings and wisdom imparted by the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay, and so this is going to be there's the flyer, right? You can see the flyer there. All right, I think I don't want to say who, but someone's kid is the one who wrote that Muhammad like that, and then they arched it and give it a little extra arch. Okay.
This is the registration link right here.
You click on register, it's right here. You just press register, you just put your name and like your email, and that's it.
Are you registered? Yeah,
yeah.
How'd you register so quick?
You just press right, they sent
no, but how did you know about it?
Oh, someone sent it in the group chat. Yeah.
What? Oh, just now?
Like a few hours ago.
Did they beat me to it?
Yeah, like 2 hours.
Who's beating me to it?
Wait, do you need to register, though?
Me?
I don't think you need to register.
Not me, but I'm saying, like, I thought, I didn't know that the word spread already.
It was weird. Someone sent it, like, at 11 a.m.
Oh, okay. I guess someone might have already sent it out at 8 or something.
Yeah.
It was even before that. Yeah. It was like 10 or 9 a.m.
Really early in the morning.
Okay, here, no problem. All right, let's now go to remind everyone, you can also come for the whole weekend before that. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to talk about that, so we don't distract from this. So forget that. We'll talk about that later. Let's read from our hadith, by the way. Okay? We are reading from Imam An-Nawawi's At-Taqrib wa At-Taysir. Okay? أول مصنف أول مصنف في الصحيح المجرد. So when we talk about the types of hadith, the sahih, of course, takes precedent. It is the first type of most authentic narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We call that the sahih. Now, early books, though, did not limit their narrations to the sahih. So they may have been sahih, and they may have been hasan, and there may have been some da'if hadith in them. Why is that? Because da'if hadith does have a usage in non-legal matters. But the first one to write a book only on the sahih is al-Bukhari. So many people get this mistake that the first book of hadith was Bukhari. Not at all. There is not a single sahih hadith or entry or narration that Imam al-Bukhari brings that was a shock to the rest of the world of Muslims and scholars. It's not like, oh, we didn't have any hadith. And that's what many people think, I guarantee you that. They imagine the first book of hadith was written when Bukhari... Get me the birth and death for Bukhari. It's like 256 or 256. So they say that, 250 years after, as if the Muslims didn't have hadith until then. That's not how it is. He just was the first person to write a book solely on hadith. Solely on hadith. Okay. So, أول مصنف الصحيح المجرد صحيح البخاري ثم مسلم. Of course, before Bukhari, what was the reason why Bukhari and Muslim wrote this is because the type of hadith that was written at that time was the Musannaf and then the Musnad. And the Masanid would go by Sahabi, like all the hadith that you took from Aisha, all the hadith that you took that go back to Abu Huraira, all the hadith you took back to. And these books got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. To the point that some of the hadith in them were so weak that the scholars began getting upset that this trend, and there are trends, humans have trends. Okay, this was definitely a trend. And in this trend, Ishaq ibn Rahaway was one of the teachers of Bukhari in Persia, and he was a Shafi'i. And Persia was originally a Shafi'i nation area. And he said it would be great if someone would write a summary of Islam only using Sahih Hadiths. Because it was like enough with the so many weak narrations in these books. So Imam al-Bukhari said it entered my heart that I want to do this. And he began with hundreds of thousands of narrations and then trimmed it all down into about 2,000 narrations, which he used parts of them, different parts of them, in about 7,000 entries. And that's what consists of Sahih Bukhari. It's not the only book he wrote, but it's the greatest book, and it's the most authentic book in our religion after the Quran. When we say authentic, it means that you could pretty much guarantee the Prophet said these things because of the conditions he put before putting it in. It doesn't mean that everyone's bound to that action upon that narration, because there still may be shuyukh with stronger narrations, okay? Or with stronger evidences, I should say. Okay, so he says now that, but the Shafi'i school is like 95% in line with Sahih Bukhari. You know that? The Shafi'i school.
You know, there's a paper on this. Mm-hmm. So we studied with Sheikh Tabriz, and there's an article on his website that one of the Hanafi ulama wrote that actually Bukhari, 50% supports the Hanafi school, and 50% supports the Shafi'i school. But there's like discussion on this, right? Like what exactly is...
So Bukhari is the first one. Muslim is the second one. And Muslim, we can't say he's 100% a pupil, but he looked up to Bukhari and he took from him and benefited from him at the end of Imam al-Bukhari's life. He died young, by the way. But Muslim himself was a scholar when he met Bukhari. He was already a scholar. And he took from him and he said that he has many statements about Imam al-Bukhari, saying that nobody will be against someone like you except out of jealousy. Right? And he praised him as the most knowledgeable hadith master on the earth. So we know that Muslim and Bukhari, Muslim had a great love for Bukhari. And in the introduction of Muslim, there is a criticism that some have said is directed at Bukhari. And that's not true. I've seen tahqiq of that or analysis of that saying that he was actually criticizing maybe some Mu'tazila. But he was not criticizing his Sheikh al-Bukhari. In fact, when al-Bukhari, out of the jealousy that came about, through, he ended up being kicked out of his own hometown. Well, who followed him? There was extremists that used to say, even the recitation of the Qur'an, your recitation of the Qur'an is not created. So they went to an extreme on the debate of is God's word created or not? And because they have this, there are reasons for them to say that. But of course, it's not the case. We say that Allah's word, the Ahl-Sunnah, we discussed this a million times. But ultimately, you say al-Qur'an غَيْرُ مَخْلُوق, cannot say the Qur'an is created. So this group, the Hashawiyya, including Bukhari's old teacher, Muhammad ibn, I always forget his name. They say that there's a curse on his name, that his name is always forgotten. Bukhari's teacher, Muhammad ibn, starts with a dal or a dal. Some people say, I've heard this, that people will always forget his name.
Is he the one that instructed him to go do hadith?
No, that was, no. But he, in any event, he ends up going to the extreme, saying your recitation itself is not created. You can't say that. So Bukhari says, no. خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. He created you and what you do. My action of reciting the Quran is created, clearly created. Right? So he ends up expelling him from the city. In a public gathering, everyone is there, and he says, whosoever says that the Quran is created, or that your recitation is created, get up and leave. So Imam Muslim got up and left. He went with Bukhari. Bukhari got up and left. Muslim got up and left. So Muslim was the only one who stood with him. And they left the city together, expelled out of the city. Back in the old day, the big sheikh of the city, he's in charge, basically. وَهُمَا أَصَحُّ الْكُتُبِ بَعْدَ الْقُرْآنِ. These two books are the most authentic books after the Quran, وَالْبُخَارِ أَصَحُهُمَا وَأَكْثَرُهُمَا فَوَائِدًا. And Bukhari is more reliable and has more benefits in it. See, the way Muslim wrote the book is in a rational way. What's the subject? Here are all the Sahih Hadiths. What's the subject? All the Sahih Hadiths. But Bukhari's book, it's his ideas. So it's in an order that it's not the traditional order of things. And he has portions of hadiths. So he'll take the portion that's relevant and put it in a different spot. Right? And then he'll take, in another similar setting, he'll take that same hadith that has a different chain and he'll put it there. And as a result of that, it requires a lot of sharh, a lot of commentary to explain why is exactly that Bukhari did this the way he did. Because nothing about it is customary. Sahih al-Bukhari. Muslim is customary. It's rational. Tahara, here are the hadith about the subject. Dua, here are the hadith about dua. Right? And he'll give you the whole hadith. He won't splice it up for you, as Bukhari does. Some said Muslim is more correct, but this is not correct, according to Nawawi. وَاخْتَصَّ مُسْلِمٌ بِجَمْعِ طُرُقِ الْحَدِيثِ فِي مَكَانٍ وَلَمْ يَسْتَوْعِبْهَا الصَّحِيحُ وَلَا الْتَزَمَا قِيلَ لَمْ يَفُتْهُمَا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ وَأُنْكِرَ هَذَا وَالصَّوَابُ أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَفُتْ الْأُصُولَ الْخَمْسَةَ إِلَّا الْيَسِيرَ أَعْنِ الصَّحِيحَيْنِ وَسُنَنْ أَبِي دَاوُودَ وَالتِّرْمِذِي وَالنَّسَائِي وَجُمْلَةَ مَا فِي الْبُخَارِي 7,275 hadith. All right, so exactly the entries in Bukhari. I say entries because they're repetitions. 7,275 hadithan bil mukarrar, including the repeated. Wa bihadf al mukarrar, if we removed what's repeated, 4,000. وَمُسْلِمْ بِإِسْقَاطِ الْمُكَرَّرِ نَحْوَ 4,000. Muslim, if you remove his repetitions, also around 4,000. ثُمَّ أَنَّ الزِّيَادَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ تُعْرَفُ مِنَ السُّنَنِ الْمُعْتَمَدَةِ. What about other sources, زِيَادَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ? So what is the difference between Bukhari Muslim and then the famous five books, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i? Well, four books. Now, that makes the six. Is that they took a middle ground. Those four students, they're the next generation. Bukhari Muslim, then the next generation are these four. Abu Dawud is really very close to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Then Tirmidhi, Nasa'i ibn Majah. Nasa'i, of course, lover of Ahlul Bayt, lived in Egypt. And then Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. So what they did is they said, hold on a second. Our teachers, Bukhari and Muslim, are actually being fought for limiting their books to the hadith sahih only because they're saying there is a use for the hasan and the da'if, and people may think that there's no use for them. So what they did is they said, okay, we're going to limit the obligations of Islam, the outright necessities of law to the sahih. But beyond that, we'll open up to the weak. Because weak may be slightly weak. And there may be so weak that it's almost fabricated. There's five conditions for a sahih hadith, right? So if just one condition is missing, we don't use it at all? No, we use it. But not in law. Not in obligations and prohibitions. Or necessary beliefs. We do use sahih hadith even if ahad in necessary beliefs, right? We just don't make takfir of the one who rejects it. That's a difference. So what they said here is that in everything that's not law, we're going to use the da'if. We open it up to the da'if, those four. So that was the compromise. And that's what we call the sunan. Two sahihs and then the sunan. And Muwatta Malik is considered also a source of sahih, except that it's not just a book of hadith. He adds in it sayings of Sahaba, sayings of the khulaf, of the next generation, and his own fatawa. And he gives the amal there. Some people ask, you Malikis hold the amal of Ahl Medina. Where is the amal? The amal is found in the Muwatta. Then it's found in the four ummahat of the Maliki school. There are four ummahat, four mother books of the Maliki school. And these mother books, the top of it is the Mudawwana of Sahnun from Abd al-Rahman bin Qasim. And then there are three other books, Al-Utbiyah and other books that gather Malik's direct statements. And in that, he says, Al-Amalu indana kada. The action that what we do here in Medina is this. And he doesn't mean what the regular person does in Medina. He's meaning what the scholars do. And that's where we get the amal from. All right. Now, Ibn Khuzaymah attempted to write a sahih, and it is considered one of the greatest books of hadith, except that ما بقي منه إلا الربع. Only a quarter of it is available. The rest of it's been lost. And then there are, and he's going to cover this, other books that sought to gather the hadith. Okay, the sahih. So there is a type of book where you take, let's say, Bukhari's book, and you take the same hadith that have different chains. Right? Mustakhraj, it's called. And then there's the mustadrak, which is that you take the same conditions. Did I get them right or did I mix them up? You take the same conditions of a muhaddith, like Bukhari or Muslim, and you apply that everywhere else. And some ulama say that those who tried to do that didn't succeed in doing that, and they didn't fulfill all the conditions, but Allah knows best. Okay. So there are many, many sahih hadith in the four other books. Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasai, Ibn Majah, Khuzaymah, also Darqutni, Al-Hakim, Al-Bayhaqi. However, he says, all right, La yakfi wujuduhu fiha. It's not enough. He's saying there are sahih hadith in that, but not all of them are sahih in these books that I just mentioned. So you have to look at the conditions that they observed for each hadith. وَعْتَنَا الْحَاكِمُ بِضَبْتِ الزَّائِدِ عَلَيْهِمَا وَهُوَ مُتَسَاهِلٌ. So, Al-Hakim sought to gather what would have been in Bukhari based on Bukhari's conditions. But as many said here, he was not as strict as Bukhari was in those conditions. Okay. And those books that we just mentioned, he said, if it's not sahih, chances are it's hasan. Except illa an yadhhara fihi illatun tujibu da'fahu wa yuqaribuhu fi hukmihi sahih Abi Hatim ibn Hibban wallahu a'lam. Sahih Abi Hatim ibn Hibban. Abu Hatim ibn Hibban. Okay. Al-Busti, Buhatim al-Busti. Next one is Al-Kutub Al-Mustakhraj al-Sahihain Lam yaltazim fihima muwafaqatuhuma. So we mentioned Lam yaltazim fihima muwafaqatuhuma. So we will talk about that tomorrow, inshallah. Or next time we talk about this. We take a little nebdha every day. All right, so here we go. What else do we want to talk about, folks? Let's take a couple QAs real quick before we wrap up for today. Today's a short stream because we have the guest. Leonard Sachs is coming, so we're going to wrap up in 10 minutes. I'll just take a few questions here. Take a few questions here. A smile. There. All right. Great Spanish language advocacy for the celebration. Very well researched and clearly written. And the author wrote a poem commemorating the Mawlid, says Rabia Brown. She has, I guess, a source, something like that, where biography of the Prophet in Spanish. Good. There's another Rabia T. If somebody won a plushie via a crane game, does he get to keep it or should he give it away? He should give it away. Those crane games are all haram for us to play. You put in a 50 cents, you get to work on a crane and try to get the toy. So that is basically a false sale in Islam. Invalid sale, because you're basically, you don't know what you're going to get. And the chance to get something is not sufficient. It's not enough. Who are the real Bani Israel today? There are none. The Bani Israel, to be a son of Israel is Sayyidina Yaqub, to be a descendant of a prophet, you require to be a believer. Once kufr comes into the heart of a person, they're no longer the descendants of that prophet, right? Of course, physically they're born from that prophet, but we don't give them the honorific of being the descendant of a prophet. There are many people, descendants of prophets, who eventually their descendants left the truth. And one of them, for example, Sayyidina Nuh, Allah says about his son, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. Right? Why does my hair always get cut in these pictures, man?
It's because the background's like blackish.
Oh, that's why. So we got to fix it. Can you put it back? Unless I got one of... Now it makes me look like I'm one of those... There we go. One of those fresh haircuts. How do we tell our parents what they're doing is wrong? It's not our responsibility to command right and forbid wrong to our parents. But if you do, you do it in the most kindest way possible. Okay. Amanda Mari, we just shocked her that crane games are haram. So basically any game where you pay and you don't know what you're getting back, you get a chance to shoot the basketball and maybe get a bear or not. You get a crane and maybe you get a toy or not. You get to throw the rings on the bottles. They may bounce off and they may go on. You may get it or not. It's a gamble, right? So there is no difference than spinning the wheel or playing what do they call those games? Roulette. Yeah, like the slot machines. It's no different, right? So different. Why is kosher food halal, says Helena Akhtar? The reason is that Allah Ta'ala himself, he said the food, the ta'am, meaning here the slaughtered meats of the people of the book is halal for us to eat. That's why. Can we keep artwork with faces of animals either as pictures or sculptures? As we said earlier, in the Maliki school is pretty lenient on this matter. If lenient is the right word to describe such a thing, it's basically that what's makruh is, or there are two conditions. If you have one of them, it's discouraged. If you have both of them, it's haram. The conditions are full body and shadow. If it's a full body of a human or an animal, and it has a shadow, it's haram. If it has one of the two, it's discouraged. So this, for example, someone bought me this. Cheetah. Is that a cheetah? Or a jaguar? That's a cheetah. That's a cheetah. On the phone, right? As a phone case. So it neither is it full body, nor does it have a shadow. Therefore, it's halal. When I put this up, our qari in the masjid, he flipped out. Right? I said, yeah, Maulana, but this is okay in the Maliki Madhab. He said, yeah, but the people here don't know what Maliki Madhab is. They're going to think that you're doing something haram. So I just turn it over when I go to the masjid now. So no one thinks that I'm doing something haram. If we see something haram, should we just keep shut? Says Kolmio Aimo. When our parents do something haram, if you can say it without hurting them or making them feel bad, then you may say it. But if doing so will injure them, make them hurt, feel bad, then you shouldn't do it. Hey, Omar, I have an idea for today's thumbnail. Why don't we take
the website picture
and the text and everything, right? Their poster. Yeah, you could put the picture that you have up on the right, but then the background would be just that poster. Yeah, like that. Or in the poster. Where's the poster? Yeah, something like that. Or even that. That's good. Oh, there's too much text on that. Go back. Yeah, whatever you want to do. Something like that. Can a person lie to cover up something he shouldn't have said, deny it happened? You can lie about your own sins, provided other people's rights are not going to be abused. So, for example, did you smoke weed today? No one has the right to ask you if you committed, disobeyed Allah. That's between me and Allah. What's wrong with you? So I can say, you don't have the right to ask that. I don't have to say yes. Just not everything I have to tell you the truth, right? Certain things you don't have, not your business at all. But did you steal from Fulan? At that point, you could actually say, you also could possibly deny that, but you got to give the money back. So you're not allowed to ask about, now, by the way, unless you're in a hearing, then you can't lie. In a hearing, you cannot lie. In a testimony, you cannot lie about other people. You say, I know I took his money, I didn't take, can't do that. Oh, that's really good. That's really good. Yeah, it's covered up. That's some, we're gonna figure that out. Can kids wear cartoon shirts? Well, kids have an exception for all this. Kids can play with dolls. Kids could play with toys. Kids could have teddy bears. They could have figures. They could wear the stuff on T-shirts. If they, I guess that's okay too, right? But they are allowed to play with these things. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. What's the ruling on adopting children? Well, you get a great reward, but you cannot adopt him as a son and lie to him. That's the only thing you can't do. You cannot lie and say, you are my son, biologically. I'm your dad. That the boy walks around thinking you gave birth to him, and that's his mom and his dad. You actually have to tell him, you know, when the time is right, I guess, in a wise manner, this is your mom, this is your dad, and we're just taking care of you. And he can call you mom and dad. You know that. He can call you that. Okay, and you treat him like that. And even in inheritance, you cut a portion for him from the third that you're allowed to give to non-inheritors, because he's not an inheritor. Now, what happens when this person has what happens when this person they grow up? Then the adopting mom and him are can marry. So she has to wear hijab in front of him. And if you have daughters, they have to wear hijab in front of him. Unless you actually nursed and gave this boy milk from the mother before or around the age of two, hovering and under the age of two. So an example with that would be she freezes her milk. Then years later, they come and adopt a baby, and that baby is maybe two or under, around 2 years old or under. At that point, he drinks one sip of that milk. Khalas. He is now, by the rules of hijab, a member of the family. He's a member of the family by the rules of hijab. So he can see the girls without hijab, but he can never marry them. Same with the mom. That's how you do it. Best book to recommend a convert? I would say the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Does Ummi Prophet mean Gentile? It means Gentile, non-Jew. It means unlettered. The difference between illiterate and unlettered is that illiterate is somebody who cannot read. Tried to learn how to read, can't. Right? No. Unlettered intentionally does not read. He's educated through other methods. Okay. And it also means of the of mercy. Okay. Of mercy upon his nation. It's another meaning of ummi. What if your parents ask you if something that they do is haram? You have to tell them the truth in a gentle way without making them feel bad. How do you deal with an inferiority complex? So it's, you deal with that in different ways. Number one, through spiritual means, by realizing the only one that you truly have to impress is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who gives everybody their power and their weakness is Allah ta'ala. And he can give you superiority over others, and he could lower others. So you should recite different adhkar for that. Allahu Akbar, Ya Ghani, Ya Mughni, Ya Kafi. Different dhikrs that you should always recite for that. Number two, there may be inferiority complexes for reasons, and you can overcome them with knowledge, right? By learning, and I'm not saying knowledge of fiqh only, I'm saying knowledge in general. If you are really knowledgeable about something, you rise up in the world. right? You could, let's say, take someone who's got the worst body possible, but if this person really puts his mind to studying and becomes the greatest surgeon, right, in the country or whatever, all of a sudden your respect level rises amongst people. So knowledge. Secondly, there are ways, if it's physical, to take care of yourself. If it's financial, to take care of yourself, right? There are ways to change yourself. I remember one time a kid was feeling so bad because he couldn't find a job in England. He was just feeling so miserable. And his dad said, stop this. Get up, take a shower, fix up your hair, put your best clothes on, and just walk in the street. So I'm looking at him, and he's getting dressed. I was like, oh, what's going on? You got an interview or something? He's like, no. He's like, where are you going? I was like, nowhere. I'm just going to walk in the street, right? And he came back. I just felt better. Why? Because I looked important in front of everybody, right? Walk fast. He's wearing a nice suit, and he's walking fast down the streets. That's it. But he felt good about himself. Now, he feels important. It works. Psychological tricks with your own brain. Hey, Omar, why don't we put the MBF 367 under, center it under profit? Yeah, centered there, so it doesn't look off. You're making videos with Wahhabi scholars like Omar Suleiman. Is it halal in Islam to do so? I never seen those ideas come from him. Why would we say that? No, I don't. I never seen. I mean, I wouldn't talk to him if he was. I've never seen those statements come from him that would make it unlawful to interact with him at all. And it's not just me. It's, you know, I always, as you all know. Hey Omar, why don't you get the hex of what Muhammad and use that for the under text? See Muhammad, get the hex code for that. Make that, and then MBF 367 in green. You know how to get hex codes?
Yeah.
This guy's a machine. Yeah. AI, probably, I'm sure. He's going to ChatGPT. Is nutmeg impermissible? What's the Hanafi ruling on nutmeg, Omar?
Nutmeg, what's in
nutmeg? They say it could intoxicate. No, that's a good question. I'll have to double check. Last I heard it's forbidden. I heard... Yeah. That's what I heard, yeah. Look at this guy. He's an AI using machine. Which school of thought is Imam Bukhari from? He didn't have a school of thought. He was his own mujtahid, Imam. But his usul is Shafi'i. The usul that all we need is the ahad hadith, and that is law, that's Shafi usul. There's no doubt about that. And his sheikh was Shafi, and whose area was Shafi. So from the usul portion was Shafi. Without him ever saying that he's a Shafi, but the usul are clearly the usul of Shafi. Okay. What is the best way to be sick free? Any way to attain this from the sunnah and the actions of the awliya? Yeah, well, there is a way to decrease your sicknesses, and that is by decreasing your food. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the abode of sickness is the stomach. So eat less food, you'll get less sickness. That is the number one sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Eat less food, you'll get less sick, and Allah knows best. But ultimately, getting sickness is also shifat for us. It's good for us to get sick every once in a while. In terms spiritually, it's good for us. We get our sins cleansed from that. But we shouldn't try to get sick, obviously. How do you deal with multiple opinions in a madhab? You have to take the strongest of them. You got to take the strongest of them. We're bound to that. And if multiple ones are strong, then you could take either one. Is the 40 durood of Sheikh Zakaria al-Kandahlawi permitted? Permissible to recite, why not? Oh, I didn't see anything wrong with reciting those. What's wrong with reciting those? All right, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately we got to stop here. Jazakumullahu khairan, everyone. and hope to see you all in September. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk wal asr innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.